If you would, go ahead and turn with me again tonight to the 26th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 26. We're studying the tabernacle in the wilderness, that tabernacle that God instructed Moses to build according to his pattern. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 lets us know that this tabernacle in the wilderness served as an example and a shadow of heavenly things. That's speaking of Christ. He's our heavenly substitute. He's our heavenly Savior. And he's pictured and typified in the tabernacle so clearly. The tabernacle had four separate coverings. The first covering we looked at last week. That first and innermost covering was made up with the 10 curtains of fine twined linen. What a beautiful covering that must have been, with the cherubims and the colors of blue and purple and scarlet woven into it. As we saw last time, the colors of blue and purple and scarlet show us something of our heavenly, royal, and bleeding Savior. Then over that first covering came the second one. That's what we'll look at tonight. Look at verse 7 with me, Exodus 26. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. So over the first covering was placed 11 curtains of goat's hair. And as everything in the tabernacle, this covering of goat's hair too points to the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was thinking today as I was looking at these verses again, how amazing God's word is. Everything about the tabernacle and everything in the tabernacle pictured and pointed to Christ, our Redeemer, just as many things in the Old Testament do. Christ is the lamb that God sacrificed to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve in the garden. And Christ is the believer's righteous covering, that perfect righteousness, that perfect covering that covers our nakedness and lack of any righteousness of our own. Christ pictures the lamb that Abel sacrificed, the sacrifice that God accepted while rejecting the work done by the hands of Cain, his brother. Christ is Noah's ark. Noah and his family were safe from the flood of God's wrath, only being in the ark of safety and refuge. Christ is our refuge. He's our protection against the wrath and judgment of God against our sin. And the types and the pictures go on and on. That manna which fell from heaven, why, that's Christ, the bread of life. The spiritual rock that followed Israel, Paul said, that rock was Christ. Why, he's the solid rock. He's the rock of ages from which flows rivers of living water. Well, Christ is that brazen serpent to whom those bitten by the fiery serpents of sin look to in order to live. And Christ is the cities of refuge, place where a man could flee for protection and safe haven. Christ is our hiding place, is he not? How is it that folks don't see these things? Well, the answer is simple. God doesn't reveal it to everyone. He reveals these hidden things to whom he will, just as he has mercy on whom he will have mercy. You see, on some, God doesn't have mercy. It's his prerogative. So it should be of no surprise that we see Christ in this second covering of goat's hair. Looking at the different references found in the scriptures concerning these curtains of goat's hair, I found a passage in Exodus chapter 35 that I would like for you to look at. I believe it'll shine some light on this unique covering. Would you turn there with me? Exodus chapter 35. Look at verse 25 of Exodus 35. And all the women that were wise-hearted. Now that word wise not only means wisdom and intelligence, but here it also means skillful and artful. These skillful and creative women did spin or weave with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen? Well, that's speaking of that first covering that we looked at last week. And let me pause for a second before moving on. Have you ever given much thought to all gifts and talents that we have coming from the Lord? What talent you may possess, well, it's God's gift to you. Any skill you have, maybe a musical talent or the ability to make and do creative things with your hands, anything from gardening to carpentry to knitting, sewing, cooking, whatever it is, it's a gift from God. Any intelligence and wisdom and talent that we have was God's gift to us. So God gave these women this gift of weaving, and it was a special gift to do what they could do. Well, they had the gift and talent to weave the image of the cherubims and the material that they spun. And verse 26 says, "And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." That word stirred there in verse 26 means burned within. You see, God not only gave these women the gift and the talent, but he gave them the desire. That desire burned within them. And look up at verse 21. This will give us some context to what this is talking about here. Verse 21, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his, God's Spirit, made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them." And that's speaking of all four of the coverings and the materials used to make them. "Everyone," verse 24, "that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it." I was thinking about that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, "All that we do, we should do for the glory of God." And I see a picture of Christ in this. This woven goat's hair came from chosen women whose hearts God stirred. And they brought these coverings which they had spun. Our Lord was brought forth of a woman. He's the promised seed of the woman. This covering had something to do with Christ becoming a man, being born of a woman. And Christ is typified in the goat's hair as a man bearing and putting away the sins of his people forever. And we say it all the time, only a man could redeem man. And only God could satisfy his own law and appease his own holy justice. Jesus Christ is the God-man. We also see Christ in the material used to make these coverings of the tabernacle back in Exodus chapter 26. We see in verse 7 that these coverings are called curtains, curtains of goat's hair. The word curtains here comes from a root Hebrew word that means to fear and to tremble. This speaks of Christ's fear and reverence to God his Father. Now you and I are conceived in sin, and we come forth from the womb with no fear of God before our eyes. Psalm 36:1. But our Lord, as a man, became totally dependent on God. What a thought that is. God dependent on God. The Lord Jesus, God the Son, didn't rely at all on his own strength, but he totally committed himself and depended and trusted and relied on his heavenly Father for everything. By birth, nature, and practice, we're just the opposite. We have no trouble trusting in a work of our own so-called righteousness, thinking that we can somehow will ourselves to be saved by something that we do. That's nothing but disobedience, especially since no man can and no man will, apart from God giving life and making that sinner willing. But our Lord, perfectly obedient. He perfectly trusted and relied on the will and the purpose of his heavenly Father in all things. Brothers and sisters, we have a representative that serves God in perfect fear with perfect reverence. He had no will, but that will which he submitted unto God. And his prayer was always, "Not my will, but thine be done." The God-man, Jesus Christ, he served God, his Father, in perfect obedience, even unto the death of the cross. But people want to work. They want to do something for their salvation. But that's what Paul meant when he said, "Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." You see, you and I cannot work out what God has not worked in us. It was God, the Heavenly Father's will, purpose, and good pleasure for Christ to submit to him for everything. And with perfect obedience, our Lord did just that, and so must we. You know, I'm convinced that why so many of God's people have experienced peace in this pandemic is that they believe and know that God is on his throne, and he's working all things together for their good and for his own glory. Isn't that such a comforting thought? I love to think about that. Now, did you notice that the word "hair" in verse 7 is in italics? As you know, that denotes that the word has been added by the translators. And in this case, rightly so. After all, you can't weave a goat, but you can weave goat's hair. Yet, it's very interesting to me that the word "hair" is not found in the original Hebrew here. And I think Moses, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, omitted the word to direct our attention to the goats themselves. God required a goat to be used for a sin offering. Now let me show you that. Turn with me to the next book in the Bible after Exodus, Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 22. And I think it'll become very clear for us to see how this relates to Christ and him crucified. Have you got it? Leviticus chapter 4, verse 22. It says, "When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, and the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Do you remember the scapegoat? A goat was sent into the wilderness after the high priest had symbolically laid the sins of the people on it. And that pictured the transfer of sin from the sinner to Christ, our substitute lamb, in picture and in type. But friends, Christ is the express image of what was pictured in the Old Testament. And that's what this covering curtains of goat's hair is all about. It's about substitution. That's what this whole book is about. He who knew no sin was made sin. The Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of all his elect. So again, we see the Lord Jesus in the covering of the goat's hair. Christ was made sin. What does that really mean? Well, it means before the law of God, Christ was made sin in every way except for the corruption of his nature. Our Lord Jesus was made sin in the forsaking of God. When the believer's sin was found on Christ, God turned his back on him. And that's what his justice required. What did our Lord say when the Lord did that? When God, his Father, did that? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because God should have forsaken me and God should have forsaken you. But since the Lord Jesus was made to be sin for his people, God turned his back on the Lord Jesus and forsook him. Christ was made sin in the shame of it. Christ being the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy of our salvation that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame of it. And friends, he's now set on the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that means? That means his work, the work that he did for us, is finished. The Lord Jesus was made sin, so much so that the scriptures tell us that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. All the pain, all the suffering, all the guilt, the shame should have been ours. Recently, I received an advertisement by mail or email one. I really can't remember which, but it was from that company. You've probably heard of them, called LifeLock. It's a company that gives you security against identity theft. I suppose identity theft has undoubtedly become a real issue in today's world. Crooks and thieves take your identity and then run up debt in your name. And as I read over that advertisement, I was thinking that the Lord Jesus did that to his people in reverse. Without their permission, he assumed the believer's identity. He stepped into their personal business, the business between them and God, and he took their place. He took control of their account, and he made it his own. And he didn't take control of it to add debt like a thief does, no. He took control of the believer's account in order to pay the debt of sin that they had accumulated. He took my debt, and he paid it in full, as a rich friend might do. Oh, what a rich friend Christ is. He's rich in love and mercy, grace and forgiveness. Why, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So these curtains of goat's hair picture our spotless substitute who's made sin for his people in order to make us the righteousness of God in him. Now, back in Exodus chapter 26, and look again at the end of verse 7. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves. Now God commanded Moses to make a total of 11 curtains of goat's hair. He was to couple 5 curtains together by themselves, and then 6 curtains together by themselves, making 11 curtains of one measure. As we see, these curtains were divided into 2 groups, 5 curtains in one group and 6 curtains in another. Well, what's the spiritual significance of that? Bible scholars say that the number 5 in the scriptures is the number for the goodness and the grace of God. The book of Deuteronomy is the 5th book of the Bible, and it's said to be dedicated to God's grace. I was thinking today, man has 5 fingers, 5 toes, 5 senses, which is no doubt God's grace to him. And we know also that the number 6 is the number of man. It was on the 6th day that man was created. 6 days are the span of a man's weekly labor. And how interesting is it that the number 6 is used in the measure that man uses in connection with his labor? There are 12 inches to a foot, 2 times 6, 8 inches to a cubit, 3 by 6, 36 inches to the yard, 6 by 6, all multiples of 6. And it's the same with man's division of time. There are 24 hours in a day, 4 times 6. There's 60 minutes in an hour, 10 by 6, and 60 seconds in a minute. Did you know that there are only 6 words in the Bible for man? 4 in the Hebrew and 2 in the Greek. And how fitting that Christ, the God-man, took the place of chosen sinners and was crucified at the 6th hour. In all the indignities that man heaped upon the suffering Christ, it's the number 6 that stamped man's vile handiwork against the Lord. First, the scourging of the Lord's back. Secondly, the smiting of his face with the palms of their hands. Thirdly, spitting upon him. Fourth, placing the crowns of thorns on his head. Number 5, driving the nails into his hands and feet. And 6, plunging the spear into his side. And it's 6 that marks the religion of the beast, 666. Man, man, man. No doubt the beast is man-centered religion. So what does all this mean in the 11 curtains? It means just this. It's Christ, our covering, where the grace of God in the number 5 meets together with the sin of man in the number 6. It's only in Christ that God in love and mercy and grace puts our sin away. I never grow tired of hearing that. Look at verse 10, and thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one. Now, if you remember in the 10 curtains of the first covering, the covering of the fine twined linen, they were coupled together with loops of blue. Remember that? That picturing Christ's heavenly glory as the Son of God. Remember, blue is the color of the heavenly. But here in verse 10, they're just simply called loops. And I think that very well pictures how that when Christ was made sin for us, his heavenly glory was hidden. Just as it was in the 3 hours of darkness after his death. Also, do you remember how the 10 curtains of fine twined linen were coupled together? Well, they were coupled together with gold tatches. But these curtains of goat's hair were coupled together with brass tatches. Brass symbolizes God's divine judgment. So the tatches of brass speak of what it took to make us one with Christ. On the cross, our Savior suffered the outpoured judgment of God. Now the altar inside the tabernacle was made of pure gold, but that altar that we read about in Leviticus 4, that altar in the courtyard that the beast was slain upon and where its body was burned, Well, it was made of brass. That showed the judgment of God. Do you remember the cure for the bite of the fiery serpents in the wilderness? Well, it was looking to the brazen or the brass serpent raised up on a pole. And we see there how a line is drawn from the brazen serpent in Numbers chapter 21 to John chapter 3, which speaks of Christ's crucifixion. All who look to Christ high and lifted up on Calvary's cross escape the judgment of God. And that brings us right back to substitution. You can't get away from substitution, and why would you want to? Salvation is found in Christ and Him crucified. What does Christ and Him crucified mean to you? It means everything to the child of God. Let me tell you a little story in closing. One time during a very dry summer, a farmer noticed that the field next to his home had caught on fire. Very rapidly, the pasture was engulfed with flames and began to quickly spread. After a few hours of burning, the fire reached his gravel driveway at the field's edge, and there was nothing more to burn. No fuel for the fire, as they say. Just a few flickering embers in a dispersing cloud of smoke. Wanting to make sure that the fire was truly out, the farmer entered into the blackened field, and he walked back and forth across the field, kicking each smoldering clump of grass and burnt vegetation, hoping to stomp out any embers that may still be smoldering. And then near the center of the field, he kicked over a burnt clump that startled him. Underneath the charred pile of debris was a cluster of baby chicks that scattered in every direction. And it was then that the man realized that the burnt clump was the body of a hen, which had gathered her chicks under her wings to protect them from the flames. That reminds me of what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. But with the child of God longs to be under the care and the protection of their substitute. Christ is their one and only mediator before God. And in Him, there's no fear of judgment. With Christ as my covering, as my righteousness, I now stand before God as perfect as Christ is. And I'm accepted in Him, in the Beloved of God. So I must ask you, is Christ your covering? Is Christ your perfect righteousness? If He is, everything is going to be all right. It's going to be all right right now. And it's going to be all right throughout eternity. It's all going to be right. For he or she that hath the Son hath life, eternal life, everlasting life. On the front of our church bulletin now for over 30 years, maybe longer, is written these words from John 17:3, the words that our Lord prayed. He said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. Do you know God, the God of the Bible? Do you know the Jesus Christ that God sent? He's not the Jesus that I hear most proclaim. Oh, may God be pleased to make it so.